And it's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 to 5. For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that the fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food, and drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Thanks be to the Lord God.
Amen. This morning. Good to be here. Good to be in fellowship. The first day of the week as the church comes together to be united in this amazing way. I want to welcome Amanda. It's good to have you here. His prayer's answered. And we're just thankful that you're here this morning. So we pray that God will bless you from this time that you spend today. I want to just draw attention to, it's interesting when you study the Bible and you find some things that every now and then just jump out and you kind of think, I never really looked at that in that way. And I want to talk about our Christian life in respect to the fact that, sometimes it kind of starts off well and then it can decline. We've all been there. You're on a good week and then a bit later you hit a bad week and this journey is not an easy journey at all. And I want to remind each one of us, or just to keep us all aware, that this is the Christian walk. What we find about God's people throughout time is this has been something that has always been the case. The Corinthian church were called carnal and sinful. The Apostle Paul sent them a message because of it. He wanted to speak with them regarding the situation. And what he did was he used the example of the Israelite people. When we want to learn teaching, when we want to understand about our Christian life, the place to go is the Word of God. Because we find things in there that remind us. And even with the Corinthian church, they needed reminding. And so the Apostle Paul, he writes to the church, he gives them an example of the Israelite people, and he specifically refers to those who did not enter the promised land. Those whose journey started off really well, but didn't necessarily finish good. And in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1 through 5, moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers, and I want you to take notice of this, that all our fathers were under the cloud. They all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food. He says, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. And this is what I want us to focus our lesson on today. I want us to learn something today from this passage, because these accounts that we are looking at here are pictures of those who were set free. It was those who were set free, those who were receivers of God's liberation, those who had been blessed by God in this amazing way. And we see how they were set free, but they were receivers of the liberation. They were cleansed by God's love. they were delivered and set on a journey to a promised land. It's a bit like us, isn't it? You know, we live in our sinful life because we are outside of the body of Christ. And Christ speaks to us through his holy word in such a way that he touches our hearts, and all of a sudden we give ourselves to Christ, and then we are then receivers of his gift of eternal promise. We are cleansed by the blood of Jesus. We are delivered and set free from our enemy, but we are on a journey just like the Israelites. But he says, but with most of them, he says God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. And so this was the thing that jumps out at me, and I want you to take notice of this. You see, when you look at the account of the Israelites on their journey, you might assume that because God freed them, and because God was blessing them, he must have therefore been pleased with them. After all, they departed when Moses told them. So when Moses said, we're going, they left with him. And when Moses was telling them to follow him, they were following him. And when they got to all the tasks that were set before them, they were going through the routines. And from that, you would assume, therefore, that God was pleased with them because of the things that were going on. And this is the point. We can assume that God is pleased with us because we are baptized and we're Christians. So you can become a Christian and just assume, well, God is pleased with me now. I live my life every day and God is pleased with me. But the example given that just because the Israelites left Egypt and followed Moses did not indicate that he was pleased with them. He answered many prayers. They prayed to him and he answered their prayers. He fed them. They prayed for food, he fed them. They prayed for water, he gave them water. In fact, he even gave them things that they didn't deserve, but things that they wanted through their selfish desires and their greed, and he kept blessing them. But this was not an indication that God is pleased with them. And this was what the Apostle Paul was trying to refer to. Now let's go back to the Corinthian church. In 1 Corinthians 1 verse 4 through 7 he says, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's interesting, we remember the Israelites. The Israelites were blessed. The Israelites were given all the things that they needed. Here we see the church is blessed. We see that the grace of God which was given to them. We see that they got enriched in everything by him. They gave them utterance. That means they had the ability and the knowledge and the understanding. They had teachers. The testimony of Christ was confirmed in them. It says they came short in no gift. In other words, everything they needed, God had blessed them with. Jesus had blessed them with. They were given the grace of God. They was enriched in everything. They were given great knowledge. They had some good teachers and preachers. And so just like the Israelite people, you would assume that all is well. But in the mind of God, all was not well. I always think of when your children in your home growing up and they misbehave and you do things like you might say, right, I'm going to take something from you, or I'm going to I'm going to stop you going out, or you're going to go to bed at 6 o'clock tonight. I'm going to turn the TV off, and you're not watching any TV. And you find ways to discipline them in that way. God's people in this time of grace, we have all we need. He doesn't go along and say, "Oh, I'm going to punish you, and I'm going to take this from you right now, and I'm going to take that from you." You see, one of the things you learn about God is God continues to bless his people. And all of the things that the Corinthian church had, you would assume in their minds that all is well. So this Corinthian church, we're okay. The Israelites wandering in the wilderness, we're okay. God is taking care of us. God is looking after us. In 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 4, this is what the Apostle Paul says to this Corinthian church. And God continues to bless. He says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now, you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy and strife and division among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am Paul, and I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal?" And so we note something important here. You see, what Paul is saying is that he couldn't speak to them because they were like babies. They weren't maturing, they weren't growing. And he talked about the envy and strife and division, and note he says, among yourselves, among you. Bit like the Israelites, you know, the Israelites on this journey, all the things that were against the will of God, all the things that were going wrong in their lives. God was blessing them and they was just thinking we're okay. So in Corinthians 10, Paul does not want them to be ignorant to the Israelites. In Corinthians 10, the Apostle Paul is trying to say, do not assume that everything is okay. I do not want you to be ignorant that all our fathers were under the blessings of God. In other words, the same blessings that they received, the same blessings you receive. But he says in the passage, and yet with most of them, God was not well pleased. God was not well pleased. They had their food. They had everything that they needed. But God was not pleased. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 6. Now these things became our examples. So these are our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. So the examples are there to follow, live by, and understand. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11, they were written for our instruction. And so the Apostle Paul instructs the church in Corinthians, in Corinth, to follow the example of the teachings that were recorded regarding the Israelites. Now, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 7, "And do not become idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play." Then he says, "Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by the serpents." That was the time that they had the plague of snakes. And if you remember, they put up the golden snake, and if they looked up to it, they were healed. He says, "Nor complain as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer." And we think, or they think, they're okay. The Israelite people thought they were okay. Because regardless of the things, and regardless of the idolatry and the sexual immorality and the tempting of Christ and the complaining and the selfishness and all these things going on, regardless, God continued to give them the things that they needed. He continued to provide for them. So in their minds, they probably feel, we're okay. And that is why it says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he falls. Many people fall. Because they think they're okay. Verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear. We will be tempted. Temptation will be there. Be sure of that. We know. We all know. Temptation is there. Temptation was there for the Israelites. Temptation was there for the Corinthian church. And while God continues to bless his people, for those who are immersed in water and they come up out of the water, that they know the Lord has added me to his body. So I'm okay and everything's okay. And all our temptations come and we give in to them. And we allow sin to take over our lives. Because all the time in our minds we feel that we're okay. And God says, with some I am not pleased. The Corinthian church was failing at the temptation that lay before them. The Israelite people were failing because of the things that they sinned against their Lord and their God. They were failing. God was not well pleased with most of them. And it can be true today that God is not pleased with many of the church, of his people. Because many are walking in ungodly ways. Because we think we're okay. Because we are baptized. And because God continues to bless our lives in various ways. Don't assume that if God gives you a good job, a good home, good finance, that is a measure of the fact that he's pleased with you. He provided many blessings to the Israelites daily. He provided many blessings to the Corinthian church daily. It isn't the measure that God is pleased with you. It's God is the provider who provides for his people. You see, let's look at a mark of a man who understood all this. And that is the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 9. The Apostle Paul says, therefore we make it our aim. We make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to him. Remember, we see that with some God was not well pleased. The Apostle Paul says, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to him. He says in this passage that we have an ambition, and this ambition is not earthly. Not earthly. The ambition is to be pleasing to God. Because the Apostle Paul wants to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. When Jesus was baptized in Matthew 3, the account that we have there, he says, when he had been baptized in verse 16, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The Israelites, I am not well pleased with some. The Corinthian church, not well pleased with some, but Jesus, I am well pleased. The Apostle Paul says, I want to be pleasing to my God. You know the passage that the Apostle Paul refers to, if you notice there, he says, whether present or absent. Do you know what that means? That means that the Apostle Paul is saying that if I was to die today and go to heaven, nothing would change for me. Nothing would change. Everything would be the same. Because the Apostle Paul is living
his life for Christ as if he was in heaven. He says that all these earthly things on this earth, in connection to the eternal things, I am going to treat them as if I was already in my heavenly place. And Jesus, the example, and we see this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Is this how we measure things for ourselves? You know, we become a Christian, so God's pleased with me. I go to church Sunday morning 2 hours. Maybe God is, that's enough for God to be pleased with me. Sometimes I join the Wednesday class, or I read my Bible during sermon classes. I take communion each Sunday. I sing the hymns and could quote a few passages. I can do that. I call my brethren brother and sister. We hear that. We refer to each other as brother and sister. It's our connection. It's what makes it, this relationship is special. So I call my brethren brothers and sisters, but I don't know them. I don't know anything about my brothers and sisters. I don't know the backgrounds, where they come from. But I call them brother and sister. I worship with them each Sunday at least. I don't visit or call my fellow Christians. I have a large fellowship with my worldly friends, and that takes up most of my time. But I tend to socialise with the worldly people more. When I'm able, I try. I try to fit the church around my work and my hobbies. So you know, I'll look at my work and my hobbies, and then the church, I'll fit it around that if I can. But by showing my face each Sunday, all will be well. I don't support ministries. I have no involvement in outreach. I tell no one about Christ or try to reach out to people in my community. I have conflict with some of my brethren. I'm angry, I'm bitter, I'm falling apart. I'm happy to be here to listen to lessons so long as they don't upset me. Maybe like this one. He's upset me. I have a house, but I want a bigger one. I have a job, but it's not enough. I eat, but it's not my favourite food. I have clothes, but one pair of shoes is not sufficient. I have a meeting house to fellowship with my Christians, but it's too much effort to get there. Some of my brethren are in need, but it's not going to be my problem. But I said, I show up each Sunday for 2 hours and join the midweek class, all is well. And God blesses me with everything that I have. Because I will acknowledge that. If anybody asks me, God bless me with a job. God bless me with a house. God bless me with my family. So in our minds we say, all is well. The Israelites were being blessed and they say, all is well. Everything we need, God gives us. All is well. And the records say that God was not well pleased with some of, or most of the people. He was not pleased. And we have to ask ourselves this. Am I pleasing to my God? Is my input to his ministry or his body sufficient? Am I serving God the way that a Christian should serve God? When we read the account in Matthew 3 where he says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. We find the answer to that in Hebrews chapter 4 when it says, for we do not have a priest, a high priest, who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. In other words, our Savior is sat in our seats. Our Savior has walked in our shoes. Our Savior has experienced the same things that we experience and more. He says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted just as we are. Yet he was without sin. Isaiah 53 and other passages say, listen, 30 years tempted, no sin. No beauty that we should desire him. Listen, sometimes we can't leave the house until we look right. Or our clothing's right, or our hair's straight. He was despised and rejected for what he stood for the person that he was. A man of sorrows, and he was acquainted with grief. Wounded and bruised for our transgressions, for our iniquities, for our sin. He was oppressed. He was afflicted and led like a lamb. A lamb, not a human being. He was led like an animal to the slaughter. He had no house, and our houses aren't good enough. He was wearing his wardrobe, but we haven't got enough clothing. His wardrobe was what he wore. He was starved, he was beaten, he was scourged, he was spat on, he was laughed at, he was mocked. No complaints, no bitterness, no anger, and no selfish actions were ever recorded in this world that shows any indication that our Saviour was never thankful. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Every day the Israelites had a cloud protecting them. Do you understand that? The cloud was like a shield. The sun beaming down on them in this desert, in this wasteland. And God protects them with this cloud, with this umbrella. The fire at night to keep them safe. No wild animals would go near them with that fire that was there. The food, the water, many miracles to help them. And what did they do? They said in their minds, we're okay. And yet they sinned against God. Because despite what God did for them and continued to do for them, it was never enough. Galatians 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And we look at the love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And we can probably break most of those in a day. He says, against such there is no law, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh. In other words, we are no longer captive to sin. We no longer live in his passions and in his desires, because we live in the Spirit. And he says, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us be people of God. Let us be servants of God and live our lives as those who see the liberation that he has given us. And let us walk in the way that he wants his people to walk. You see, Paul's ambition was to be pleasing to God. You see, he wanted to, his life actually started bad, but it became good and it ended well. And we too, if we're not careful, can find ourselves going back to where we came. Live a life that pleases God. Set your targets on heavenly ways. Focus your aim on godliness. It's hard work, but we have to change. Focus our aim on godliness. My appeal is for change. Let us change, every one of us. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 9, therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent. Present, as we said, is the earth, and absent is heaven. The Apostle Paul had one ambition, and that was to be as if he was in heaven on the earth. I'm going to live now as if I was in heaven. Now, what sense does that make? You know, what sense, how does that work? Listen, will we make money in heaven? No. Will we be obtaining possessions in heaven? No. Will we be striving after all the worldly things? No. Will we be fighting our enemies? We will be dealing with no. The Apostle Paul says, while I'm on this earth, I'm going to live as if I'm in heaven. In other words, the things that I won't need in heaven, I won't need down here. In other words, God gives me just what I need. He gives me sufficient. And that is what God gave the Israelite people. That is what he gave the Corinthian church and brethren. That is what God gives you and me. In every person in heaven, there will only be one goal. And that goal will be to please God. And Paul says, I am starting with that attitude right now, whilst upon this earth. In other words, when the Apostle Paul goes to heaven, nothing changes. Because he's already started living as if he was there. When he makes heaven, he will be just the same motive. He will want to please his God in the same way. Let's not finish bad, brethren. Let's focus our lives. Put God first in everything. Don't let us be the ones where God, we assume everything is okay. We don't want to find ourselves where God says, with some I am not pleased, and we be that son. Let us strive to be the best that we can be for our Holy God. Let's rise and sing the invitation of the song.
Amen.